Revelation chapter 9 gives us the picture of the fifth angel sounding the trumpet. Man, the angel that had fallen was given a key to open the abyss, and out of it come locust demons. We're going to talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. I want to welcome all of you who are watching on YouTube and joining us on our podcast as well. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. We're in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. This is amazing. We have just covered the first four angels sounding the trumpet. And 2, 3, and 4 are kind of a picture of the same thing. One of them was a blazing mountain, which is Israel, apostate Israel, that once was Mount Zion, now being cast into the sea, or the nations being cast down. You see a second there, which was actually the third trumpet of the angel sounded, and there was a star that fell like a blazing torch into the waters. Again, a same picture of Israel falling under judgment. And then the fourth trumpet or angel announces that a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are affected. The governmental powers are transferred and changed, not only in Israel, but in the nations around. It's getting worse. At the end, there are three woes that are announced. We're about to talk about the first woe. Let's read about it here in chapter 9, beginning at the first six verses, and then we will go further. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. And the star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill them, but to only torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Wow. We see another imagery. The word locust is used in simulation to the plagues of Egypt in Exodus chapter 10. But this is different. We have demon locusts coming up out of the bottomless pit, out of the abyss, out of those places that we would declare the place of Satan and the demons. And seven times, actually, there's that number seven again. The word abyss is used in relationship in the book of Revelation. And three of those times is right here in this chapter 9. We know from the Bible that the abyss is the regions of the prison of demons. And the best reference probably we have of this is the Gadarene demoniac in Luke chapter 8, when Jesus came to him and the demons in the man began to cry out to Jesus to stay away. And he asked their name, and the voice of the demon said, "Legion, for we are many." And they began to beg Jesus that he would not cast them into the abyss, the place of those demons that would be held. You see the word also used in Revelation chapter 20 in reference to Satan when he was bound, which, by the way, that's done at the cross. When Jesus binds Satan, he no longer has authority. He's bound by chains. This, is, of course, is a picture because you can't bind Satan with literal chains. It's a spiritual binding that all authority was given to Jesus and all authority was taken from Satan. And he was bound in that reference in Revelation chapter 20, but he was put in the abyss or the bottomless pit. 2 Peter also references it when those angels who had sinned were cast down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. So we know the abyss is referencing the place of demons. And so during Jesus's ministry, we see during Jesus's ministry, he had actually defeated the works of Satan. Satan, the star, had fallen. You remember over in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was giving them a preview of the kingdom that we now live in, he sent out his believers two by two to go in his name in authority. And they came back and said, "The demons are subject to us." And Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Now we know that there's this thought that Satan's kicked out of heaven, but what we're seeing here was what Jesus saw when sending out the authority of those disciples under his name. They were getting a preview of what the kingdom would be like after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, in which the power of the Holy Spirit would be sent to us, that we would walk in that authority and tread upon scorpions and upon demons and all the powers of darkness, if you please. Well, he sent his disciples out two by two, and they came back saying, "Hey, this is unusual. Demons are subject to us." And he said, "I know." He said, "I saw Satan falling." So there was a place that Satan fell. Now, that was a picture of the preview of what was going to happen at the cross, because when Jesus died, he defeated Satan's authority. That's where he bound him. In fact, John 12, 31, Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he says, "Now is the time for judgment on this world." Listen to this. "Now the prince of this world will be driven out." The cross, the death, the resurrection was the defeat of Satan's authority and his power. So what John is warning here in this vision that he's seeing of this particular trumpet, the fifth trumpet, is that all hell is about to break loose. I mean, literally, it's going to come up on that land. It'd be similar to destructions that would come up on cities, such as the city of old of Tyre. In Ezekiel 26, it's referenced where the prophet says, "I will bring the ocean depths over you, and the vast waters will bring you down to the abyss," or down to pit. Now we see the abyss being released and dredged up to cover the land of Israel with unclean spirits. Apostate Israel is being cast out, literally excommunicated, if you please, because believers are known as being tabernacling with the tabernacle in heaven. We've come to the city of God. We are come to the church of the firstborn. Mount Zion, the city of God. That's we worship in the tabernacle of heaven, so to speak, where now these apostate false church would be seen as the synagogue of Satan. And so there's an excommunication that is taking place here. And that's central to the theme, really, of Revelation. That's what we really are dealing with. So when we see these demons or these locust demons being released, it says they were released for 5 months. According to David Chilton's book, Days of Vengeance, quoting from him, he identifies that when these locusts came in the land of Palestine, they would come from May to September, which was a 5-month period. That was normal. That was their normal come and stay. And the pestilence that would come up on the crops would come in that 5-month period. Now, it's interesting that reference is made here as well, because he goes on and cites that there was a period of time of Jesuus Florus, who was the procurator of Judea, who for 5 months brought forth, it was the time of May of 66 until September of 66, of a great slaughter of just innocent citizens trying to stir up a rebellion against Rome. And actually, it had such significance to that period of 5 months that Josephus records that that was the beginning of what he would identify as the Jewish Wars. So this is exactly what Jesus was prophesying in his ministry, that the land that he brought and he came to, his own, rejected him, and therefore, instead of receiving the blessings, they would be receiving this abyss of demons that they opened themselves up to. And this is what we see when a key was given to this angel that had fallen. Notice it said this angel had fallen, so we know it's referencing Satan. He was given the key or the authority to open that abyss, which means this was a work of God, that how he allowed that to happen, to come against those rebellious people. You say, well, that's pretty strong. Well, Jesus constantly talked about this in his ministry. Sometimes we read through the Gospels and we miss it too easily. For an example, in Matthew chapter 12, I've referenced this passage several times, but let's go through it again. He says in verse 41, the men of Nineveh will stand up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. He says, it is for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Who is that that's greater than Jonah? Jesus. See, we got to see the significance of what it meant for Israel, God's people, to reject the Messiah. This was the plan of God from the very beginning of all the prophets prophesied, that the Messiah would come forth. We can't just pass over this easily. I've mentioned it before, you'd think something of this significance would have something in the Scriptures. Well, it does. We not only the Old Testament prophesies it, not only do we see it, Jesus prophesies it. It's one of the prophecies, most extended prophecy that Jesus gives in Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21 is the same destruction that's talked about here, recorded in the book of Revelation. This is significant, and therefore it's recorded. Verse 42, it says, the queen of the south will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. Who is that greater than Solomon? It's Jesus. You can't just pass over that. Now he goes from that right into verse 42 down through 45 and says, when an impure spirit goes out of a person, it goes through dry places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house occupied, swept and cleaned and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Now listen to what he says. This is how it will be with this generation. And he's talking about the generation he was speaking to in that day. The same one that's coming under judgment because they had rejected the Lord Jesus. Jerusalem had been swept cleaned by Jesus' ministry. His house had been purified. You see that literally happened when Jesus went through and cleansed the temple. That was representative of what was happening in all of Jerusalem, all the land of Israel. He was cleansing the temple. He was making a transformation and a change. And yet they went back to their ways. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when the veil was rent in two in the temple, somebody must have either replaced that veil or sewed it up, and they continued to offer sacrifices as if the lamb that takes away the sins of the world had not come. Come on now, that's God's people rejecting him. And that's why Paul comes along and says, all those who are of Israel are not of Israel. Has God's word failed? He said, no, but only those who have the election of grace. So there had to come a judgment against that. That's why Jesus says, before he begins to speak in Matthew 24, that temple would be destroyed as a result of his prophecy and God's judgments, which we see carried out here in the book of Revelation. Right before Matthew 24, he says in chapter 23, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. It's a habitation of demons now. You know, Jesus had said earlier in the chapter when he was giving those seven woes, in that same chapter, one of those woes, verse 27 says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean, filled with demons. And in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." That was supposed to be God's people. That's why it says in Revelation 18, talking about Israel, that they had become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Wow. You see, the final stages of this whole event is depicted and explained by Josephus in his Jewish Wars. Now, we quote Josephus a lot. Why? Because he was a contemporary writing, not as a Christian, but as a Jew, during the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. So he's an eyewitness of these events. Now, he spoke about this, and he says, talking about that particular generation, he says, "The loss of all ability to reason, the frenzied mobs attacking one another, the deluded multitudes following after the most transparently false prophets, the crazed and desperate chase after food, the mass murderers, the executions, the suicides, the fathers slaughtering their own families, and mothers eating their own children." This is happening in Jerusalem, guys. "Satan and the host of hell simply swarmed throughout the land of Israel and consumed the apostates." It's as if Josephus, living during that time, is speaking right out of the book of Revelation. Now, those demons were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree. We've already seen earlier in the chapters that trees, the grass, are representative of humans, particularly of the righteous. And it is so here, because it says, "But only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." So it's a comparison. Don't harm the grass or the trees, only those people. So the grass and the trees are those people who have the seal of God on their forehead. You can only harm those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead. So God was protecting those who had faith in Christ and those who are righteous. So the vegetation of the earth is specifically exempt from any kind of torment or caused by these locust demons. Only upon the disobedient would this come. The Christians, therefore, would be protected from these scorpion sting-like demons. And John recalls that this is so severe, just like he mentions in chapter 6, that they'll cry out for the rocks to fall upon them, the mountains to fall upon him. Here he says, "In those days men will seek death and will not find it, and they will long to die, and death will flee from them." Once again, it's in keeping with Jesus when he's going to Calvary and he turns to the women and he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves because of what's going to come upon that generation." Wow. This is just the first portion of what is seen in the fifth trumpet. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.